friends and new listeners, and welcome to The Sound of Faith. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us today because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Today's message, Do You Know Who Your Daddy Is?, addresses the gender identity crisis of the times and the controversy transgenderism is creating in our nation and society. This is a lie spawned by Satan to deny our Creator's blueprint for life. Knowing God is your Father closes the door to the confusing crisis of sexual and gender identity. And now, do you know who your daddy is?
Let's begin with just one simple verse of scripture in Romans 8:16. And while you're turning there, let me say a happy Father's Day to all the fathers and grandfathers and godfathers. Amen. And so today we're reading in Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Do you know who your father is today? How many know because the Spirit has borne witness with your spirit? Amen. You know when you're born again. You know you don't have to try to go back and see now. I got baptized such and such. I shook the preacher's hand. I joined the church. None of that means anything. When you're born again, it could be all by yourself in your bedroom. You could be riding down the street in your car. It could be the midnight hour. But when you are born again, you absolutely know the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. You may not know two scriptures. You may not even know anything about the Christian walk. But when Jesus Christ by his Spirit comes into your heart, there is a transformation that begins. And then what you do from that point will determine whether you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me begin with this story, and I haven't shared it for a while, but it's a true story. It's about a little boy named Ben Hooper. And this goes back a ways in the years when, at the time, which would have put me like when I was growing up in the 50s and probably until we hit the revolution in the 1960s of free love and free sex. But until that time, for a child to be born illegitimate was, they were to be ostracized. It's not like that today, so people may not understand this, but it was a very big thing back then. And this young boy, he grew up in that era, in the foothills of Tennessee. And his mother was ostracized. To be an unwed mother was shameful. He was shameful, and so he began to realize, by the time he was about 3 years old, he began to realize that kids didn't like him, and they wouldn't play with him, and if sometimes that he would, you know, be with a little kid, another kid his age, he would hear parents say things like, what's a boy like that doing with our children? You know, as if Ben had anything to do with it all, amen? And he especially hated Saturdays because on Saturday, his mom would take him down to the general store, the little country store, and they would get their supplies in for the week. And when he would go there, you know, a lot of parents were there with their children, and invariably the children and the parents would say cruel remarks. He would hear them talking about him and his mother, but they would say it loud enough for them to hear. Things like, did you ever figure out who his daddy is? It was tough for him, amen? And then he went to first grade and he got his own little desk and, you know, he thought this was going to be great, but he found out that when lunchtime came or recess came, none of the kids would play with him and none of the kids would sit with him to eat lunch. And there he was always all alone, eating alone, playing alone, while all the other kids were laughing and talking and having fun. And this was his life. And when he was 12 years old, he heard that their church had gotten a new pastor. Now, he and his mom didn't go to church because they felt unwelcome there. They were unwelcome there, so they didn't go. So Ben had never been to church, but he kept hearing everybody talking about this new preacher, what a wonderful man he was, how loving he was, how he loved everybody, how he always had something really good to say to people. And the more he heard about that man, that preacher, something in his spirit, we know what it was, the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Something in his spirit put a desire in his little heart. He wanted to go see about this preacher. So what he did was the following Sunday, he waited and came late. After everybody else was in there, he came late and sat down and he listened to that preacher and he loved him. He was so full of love. He said so many wonderful things about God and about Jesus. Now, Ben always made sure that he slipped out of the church before service was over. He didn't want anybody to see him coming or going. He came late and left early. And he did this week after week. And after about 6 or 7 weeks, his little heart was bursting with hope and faith that God loved even him. And on that one particular Sunday after 2 months, the message was so powerful. His heart was so moved. He was so excited. He lost track of time. He didn't realize that the service was over. And he thought, I got to get up and get out of here quick. But when he got up to get out, all the people were out in the aisles talking and shaking hands. And you know how we socialize after church. And he can't make a beeline for the door. And he's trying to work his way through the crowd, trying to get out the door before anybody sees him. But he got stopped. He felt a hand on his shoulder, stopped him. And he turned around and he was looking up into the face of that preacher. And the preacher said, "Whose boy are you?" And everybody heard him. When he said that, the church grew deathly quiet and everybody stopped. This was the question they had wanted to hear the answer to for 12 years. But then the preacher's face broke out into a big smile. He said, "I know whose boy you are. I know who your daddy is. Why, the family resemblance is unmistakable. You are a child of God." And then he patted him on the back and he said, "You've got a great heritage, young man. Now go out and live up to it." And so I want to ask you today, do you know who your daddy is? Do you know who your father is? Turn to 1 John, the book of 1 John and chapter 3. We're going to read some beautiful verses. Amen. I hope that it's talking about every person here today, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not." So he's not talking about every human being on the planet. Amen? He's talking to certain people. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he," that means Jesus, "shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Amen. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, before any of you get your feminist feathers ruffled, let me explain that the Greek word is technon, T-E-K-N-O-N, and it's from a verb meaning to bear or to give birth. And the noun form here simply means that which is born of, whether a son or a daughter. It means a human birth, that which is born of. So any human child that is born, be they male or female, is a technon. And that's the Greek word here. There are other Greek words that are only meant to be masculine. But this one, technon, takes in sons and daughters. And that's why some of your newer translations and versions have taken son and put children. And that's okay. That's good. That's a better translation, actually, is children. Now are we the children of God. Amen? But you know, today, like never before, especially in this past year, we are really having a gender identity, a crisis in the world and society and even in this nation. Amen? We have been hit with gender identity problems and transgenderism. We've got males transgendering into women and women transgendering into men. Amen? And we know it really started to get the ball rolling when that Bruce Jenner, that great Olympian hero, transitioned. You know, he was married twice and he's got kids, but he transgendered into Caitlyn Jenner. And the thing about it is the media loved it. It could have been just a footnote and things would have went on to other things, but the media just grabbed it and ran with it. Amen? And so everybody began to jump on the transgender bandwagon. Some cable TV stations began airing shows about transgendered kids, not grown-ups. Grown-ups is one thing, but kids? I'm talking about prepubescent kids. Kids who have not gone into puberty yet. Amen? And therefore, these kids, the one I'm thinking of in particular is a girl, she is on hormones to stop her from going into puberty, because if she goes into puberty, because she's really a boy, she's going to have the male transition. And so to stop that from happening, she's on hormones. And I mean, people do not realize how serious this is. First of all, let me say, on a psychological level, on a mental level, to me, it's just absolutely preposterous that you would take a kid that age. Teenagers don't know from one day to the next what anything is about. One day they're going to be a basketball player, and the next day they want to be a fireman. And then the next day they want to go to college, and even college-age kids go to college and major in this, and then halfway in the term, I'm changing my major to this. And the next year, I'm changing my major to this. They change their major so many times. Amen? Because, let's face it, you know, you're very capricious when you're younger. Amen? And the more you are exposed to things, the more you begin to form your thoughts and change your mind. So it's not only is it to me that you would allow a child that young to go that far. You say, well, you know, maybe they can change their mind later. Here's the problem with taking hormones before puberty for a boy transitioning to a girl. Because men continue to produce sperm throughout their life, whereas girls are born with all the eggs they will ever have. Did you know that? When a baby girl is born, she's got all the eggs she's ever going to have. And as she gets older and she sheds those eggs, and then with age, they really begin to die off. They begin to die off, and some that don't die off, they get old, and then you've got other problems that arise. But men produce sperm throughout their life. So if a young boy is given hormones to stop puberty, that means it's going to stop his sperm production from ever kicking in. So if later on he decides, you know, I made a mistake, I don't want to be a girl, or even if he continues to be a girl but gets a yearning for a biological child, he won't be able to do it. Amen? Amen. How many follow me? So this condemns them to a life of infertility and takes away their capabilities to have their own children. Now, getting back to this young girl, last season on the show, they showed her going out to the mall with all of her girlfriends, and she's from an upper-class family, going out to the mall with all of her girlfriends. And you know how girls, teenage girls, like to hang out and talk silly and, you know, do all that, they shop and flirt with the boys. And they accept her. The girls in her group accept her. You know, to them, in their minds, they look at her as a girl, and they accept her as that. And she doesn't look masculine. She looks feminine because they started the hormones while she's still young. And so here's the thing. She's so frustrated last year. She was frustrated because when they had the dances and things like that and social things at school, and the boys are, you know, calling the girls up and going, well, you know, well, I'll meet you at the mall and I'll do this and that and the other, none of the boys were calling her. They weren't calling her. And she's quite frustrated that the boys are not calling her like her girlfriends to go on dates and go to this. And they're friends at school with her, but they don't want to call her up to be a girlfriend. Imagine that. These boys would have to be homosexual. Because if they're not, they want a girl with girl parts. How many understand what I'm saying here? Amen? So now this is a new season, and I heard the other day, because I keep on top of this stuff, because I want to see what the ideology and of the world is. I'm looking out there to see where is the world, because where the world is, the church needs to be right there to counteract it. And so they asked her this season, when you grow up, do you want to date guys or girls? And she said, I don't know. What does that say to you? What does that say? It says to me that she's not really a girl in a boy's body. It says to me, and I want you to listen to me because I'm going to qualify it before you start throwing darts at me. She has a mental illness. She needs psychotherapy, not hormone therapy. And this is not just my opinion. Let me tell you, Dr. Paul McHugh, professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University, has studied transgenderism for over 40 years. He said, quote, it is a scientific fact that transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men. They become feminized men, masculinized women. Transgenderism is a psychological problem and belongs in the same family as anorexia nervosa and body dysmorphic disorder. Now, what are they? You know what anorexia is. They think they're fat, their skin on a skeleton, they're dying, but they still think they're fat. And the other one refers to those who think there's something wrong with their body, so they constantly go for like plastic surgery, and they're constantly going to reshape their body, reshape their face, and no matter what they do to them, they look in the mirror and they see ugly, ugly, something's wrong, and they got to go get it fixed. These are mental illnesses. And this esteemed professor said transgenderism belongs in the same category, and they need to have therapy. Here's his experience. Having sex reassignment surgery will not solve their problem. It will not solve their problem. The fact is, after sex reassignment surgery, their suicide rate goes up 20 times higher than their peers. Why? Because they thought that would be it. That would be nirvana. That's it. I get that, and I am complete and happy and satisfied. And when it doesn't happen, then they really are disillusioned. And now it's too late to go back and reassign what you were born with. Amen? So this is what's going on in our world today. And it's because people don't know who their father is. And how many understand I'm talking now who their father is? When you know who your father is, you won't be plagued with all of these mental disorders. We got to call it what it is. See, the devil wants to say they can't help it. They were born like that. Amen. But I don't know if this doctor's a Christian. I don't know if he's a Jew. I don't know what he is. He don't even bring God into the picture. He just says this is a mental disorder. And he has been someone that has been working with people and studying this for over 40 years. And then all hell broke loose last year when the Supreme Court of the United States legalized same-sex marriage. Amen. And then we barely getting over from that. We barely crawling up off of our feet where we've been knocked down. We've been punched out because of that. And now, in less than a year's time, the administration has passed or sent out this mandate of everybody can use any bathroom they want to use for the sake of the transgendered people who were less than 1%. Less than 1%, that would be 0.0 something. And yet everybody else, the 99 point something percent of the rest of the population, we have got to be at risk. Because I'll say it this way. It's not the transgendered people who think they're transgendered, who think that they're a boy and they're a girl, or vice versa. They're not the people that concern me going to the bathrooms. They're not trying to draw more attention to themselves. They're trying to throw attention off so they can look normal and fit in. They're not the people we have to worry about. It's the wide open door that allows anybody, including sexual predators, to come in. They're the ones that we're upset about. Amen? And we know it's true. Let me ask all the dads here today that have daughters. Do you want to use the urinal in front of your little girl? Any fathers think that that would be okay with you? Well, that's essentially what's happening. Amen? You see, it's not only the fact that these sexual predators then can come in and see women, because they can go to locker rooms too. It's not just bathrooms. They, you know, you go to the locker, you go to Y to swim for your health or whatever. They can come in there. Amen? Amen. When my mom used to take me to the Y to swim, I didn't even like undressing in front of little girls. That made me uncomfortable. I certainly don't want to dress in front of little boys and grown men. Amen. Amen? So they can not only that they're allowed to come in there so that they, if they got that lust devil in them, they're going to go in there real quick. But think about the little girls that these men undress in front of them. Your little girls seeing male anatomy of a grown man. You got to think about that side of it too. In fact, I saw one report where in an elementary school, the boys in the elementary school were upset because they didn't want girls to be able to come in their bathroom while they're using urinals and things. Amen? The boys didn't want it. How many know boys at a certain age, until hormones kick in, they do not want girls around? Amen. Girls are yuck. Girls are like, ugh. Amen? And then all of a sudden, one day, girls are the greatest thing God ever made. I remember Scott. I would stay on him all the time to brush his teeth and shampoo his hair. And you know, I'd stay on him and stay on him. He always had greasy hair and green teeth. I knew when something was happening, when he started taking showers and shampooing his hair and brushing his teeth. I said, oh, he discovered girls. How many know that's true? It's evolved to the place, some of you may not know this, so I'm informing you, some of you may. It has evolved to the place now where transgendered people no longer want to be referred to as he or she, him or her, his or her, even their new sexual identity. You would think if they used to be a boy and now they're a girl, they'd want people to say she, her, hers. See, because that would be reinforcing, I'm a girl now. But there are some people that they don't want that at all because they don't know yet if they're a boy or a girl. They might be a girl today and a boy tomorrow. They can go back and forth. It's called sexual fluidity. And they can go back and forth. So they have what they call non-binary pronouns. Non-binary meaning no biological attachment. You can't tell if it's male or female. So let me tell you what they are. He and she is Z. Him and her is Zim, and his and her is Zer. So Z, Zim, and Zer. Can you remember that? It's important, people. You've got to remember these things because, you know, you want to be with everything right here. Z, Zim, and Zer. So Z went down the road, and you don't know if Z is a boy or a girl. You don't know. Give it to Zim. Zer, whatever. This is Zer's water. No, it's not. This is Sharon's water. This is her water. Now, we laugh because it is hysterical. Actually, there's more than this. There's more than these. But I chose this one because I wanted to keep it simple. Now, here's the thing. We can laugh all we want. But you know, in some workplaces, if the transgendered person says to HR or whoever's in charge, I do not want to be called she or he, etc. I want to be called Z. And they make it clear that's what they want. Then if any coworkers or employees or anyone else on staff continues to call them she or he, depending on their biological thing, they can be reprimanded and they can lose their job. They're going to force us, whether we want to or not, to have to accept them by calling them Z. They're forcing people that say, okay, that's your life. And in America, you're free to do what you want. And in America, if that's what you want, then go for it. But they're forcing us now to become a part of it by using these pronouns. Amen? Yes. Folks, these are symptoms of a very severe identity crisis. It's full of confusion. And it's not without danger. Because it is a lie. And all lies, somebody say all lies, are spawned by Satan, because Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. And let me say this to saints. Let me say this to Christians and saints here. This is why it is dangerous when people start getting out from under the influence of the Word of God and they get natural and carnal. They start picking and choosing. Well, it's okay to do this. Well, I don't see any harm with that. Well, I can do this. When you start picking and choosing things like that, amen, the little things that you say, oh, that's not harmful, the little things. But the problem is it opens you up so that when something this big and crucial happens, you will be more quick to swallow it.
Amen. What a bold word of the Lord. Do you know who your daddy is? The phenomena of sexual and gender identity crisis facing us today has spawned controversy and backlash between not only Bible believers and unbelievers, but in the medical and legal and political systems as well. Political correctness has clamped down on the truth and common sense. The Bible is mocked and creationism is ridiculed. We have a generation of unchurched people who don't know God as their creator and father, and Satan has exploited this to further alienate the people from the truth of God's word. The revolutions of free love and abortion and same-sex marriage and transgenderism have turned society on their heads, and we have yet to see the full fallout of these errors. Multitudes of Americans do not know who their biological fathers are, which has detrimental consequences, but the greater tragedy is when people do not know they are created in God's image, male and female. Satan's grand finale is to have humans lose their God-ordained identities, both physically and spiritually. He has ramped up his agenda, and Christians must take a firm stand for biblical truth. We are the lights in this very dark hole of identity crisis. Do You Know Who Your Daddy Is? Can be ordered on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Request SK188. Mail to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or go online to soundoffaith.org, where you can also order on MP3. But to order by mail, send your minimum love gift of $10 to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Request SK188. Till next time, this is Sharon Knott saying, Maranatha.